Hello. What you're about to listen to was recorded at our outdoor Pentecost service on the 23rd of May 2021. As such, as it was recorded outside, the audio quality isn't as great as we would normally like it to be. However, I hope that you still get a gist of what was said.
In a moment or two, I'm going to hand over to Andy, who's going to bring us the reading, and then Chris will bring us the message. But let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I don't have the words to express to you just how thankful and grateful I am to you for your love, your care, your grace, your patience. Lord, I thank you that you, the mighty King, the Lord of all creation, sent your Son to the earth to die for me, for us. And Lord, not you didn't just leave it at that, you didn't just die, but you rose again. And then when you returned, Lord Jesus, to your Father in heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit. And it's through the strength of the Holy Spirit that enables me to stand up here and to lead such a service. Lord, I couldn't do this in my own strength. And Lord, I know that there are many of us here who say the same thing, that Lord, we need you. We need the power, the strength of your Holy Spirit to enable us to do the things that you are calling us to do. And so, Lord, I thank you for that anointing. Thank you for the anointing that you gave to Chris when you called him to be a minister for your, for you. And Lord, I thank you for the words that you have given to him to bring to us today. Lord, those are anointed words, and we just pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to you. Amen.
Now, what you don't realise is that during lockdown, we've secretly had it written into the Constitution that I have to be involved in every service. So I'm doing the reading today, and I've just lost what I'm reading. So we are reading from Acts chapter 2. We're going to do several sections. So the first section is verses 1 to 4, then 14 to 24, then 36 to 39. So the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. And then finally verses 36. And then finally verses 36 to 39. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and all your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks to the worship leaders and the band and Karen for leading us in worship. Can I just say, you know, for them, they've not been playing through this last 14, 15 months. So it's been a big challenge to them to get back to playing ability to play in front of other people. So thank you for being willing to do that. And we appreciate the time and effort you put into that. Thank you for coming. It's really great to be here gathered before the Lord again and to raise our songs to sing again. I began this message by saying we're living through times of rapid change with no clear idea of what the future might look like. We've learned over the last 14 months that our plans are not necessarily God's plans. I don't know about you, but I don't know how you feel about change. I'm not a fan. I don't like change. I like to be prepared well in advance and to stick with the plan. At times that serves me well because I'm not easily deflected by every gust of wind and I persevere through setbacks. But at this time I've had to learn to accept that God has a plan, and whilst I don't always know the details, I do know that he loves me and nothing can separate me from that love. As Karen's mentioned, today's Pentecost Sunday, the day we remember and celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the first disciples. If you'd like to know more about that and how that fits into God's master plan, then here's the shameless plug. Listen to Burwell Community Radio this afternoon, because I explain it on Crosstalk this week at 4:30, so you can listen to that on the internet. Right now, I want to explore the seismic changes that the disciples had to face, which led up to their transformation when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, a transformation that went on through the rest of their lives. I'm sure you'll know many of the individual elements of the plot, but let me join the dots for you this morning. So we start before the disciples met Jesus. Each of the disciples was deeply rooted into their culture and expectations, their place and their time. They had a home, jobs, families, friends, hopes, expectations, and fears. They were all different, of course. There were freedom fighters and collaborators, fishermen and town dwellers, those who were spiritually seeking, and those who were sceptical, even cynical. There were also both men and women. Whilst the 12 apostles were all men, many of the wider group of disciples were women, and they played a vital role in Jesus' ministry. All the disciples saw something in Jesus, in his teaching, his manner, which led them to respond to his call to leave everything and follow him. What a massive change. Just put yourself into that situation and think for a moment the change that that was for them. They became nomadic students of a travelling rabbi, never knowing where the next meal would come from or where their next resting place would be. For 3 years, they lived constantly on the move, constantly in the community of Jesus and each other. They came to trust Jesus completely, willing to follow him, they said, even to death. They saw and were part of amazing miracles. They came to believe that Jesus was God's chosen one, the promised king who would reconcile them and their nation to God. They recognized Jesus to be a prophet, a great prophet, yet more than a prophet, God's beloved son. He opened their minds and opened their hearts to experience God, his presence with them. For 3 years, he provided all they needed, healed their family members, and even raised one of their friends from the dead. Increasingly, through that time, Jesus spoke more and more directly about his forthcoming death at the hands of wicked men. But the disciples were never very good at telling when to take Jesus literally. Then it happened. Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb. And at that point, not one of the disciples had any hope that Jesus would rise again from the dead. Many of you will have experienced the pain of losing a loved one. You know what it's like to have your hopes dashed, that feeling that life will never be the same again. Imagine then what it was like for those who'd left everything, had been shown a new way to live and love as they travelled together day in and day out, had experienced God's presence in powerful miracles and had come to believe that they were following God's anointed leader when he was taken from them, brutally tortured in front of them at the hands of their oppressors, whilst they stood by, powerless to do anything, and fled out of fear for their own lives. For those few days, those few long days between Jesus' death and resurrection, they had to come to terms with life without Jesus, hopeless and fears crowding in all around. What if they'd been wrong? Left everything for a fantasy? What if Jesus had been wrong and God was not a loving father and life had no meaning or purpose? They locked themselves away in secret for fear of being arrested and killed. Then, before they've had chance to rebuild their lives, the women encounter the risen Jesus. Then the rest of the disciples meet him. And all they thought they knew was once more thrown up in the air. There he was, walking and talking and eating and teaching again, and promising two things. He would be with them every day, and that he would ask the Father to send Holy Spirit, who would remind them of all he had taught and empower them to obey. As the historian Luke writes, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. 40 days, that's quite a long time, isn't it? 40 days, things become the new normal. Jesus is back. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. Finally, it all makes sense. The disciples once more know and experience God's presence and power with them. Might this be the time for God to establish his kingdom here on earth? Just as they're getting used to the idea that death's been conquered and that Jesus is more than a prophet, he's in fact God in person, he leaves them. Or at least it looks very much like he leaves them. He's taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Hidden from sight, but not absent. Jesus had given them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're told that the apostles all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. There they are again, the women, right in the middle of it. They prayed like this for 9 days. 9 days. Jesus didn't tell them how long to wait. He just said that they should wait until the gift was given. 9 days in which they prayed constantly. Can you hear me? Do you manage 9 minutes praying constantly? 9 days they prayed for. This is another new way of being. Just praying. No telling people about the amazing things they've experienced. No teaching. No healing. No helping the poor. Just praying. And then, on the 10th day, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, their lives are thrown into turmoil once more. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Note that, all of them. Remember that that includes the women and Jesus' brothers who thought Jesus was mad. All of them filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that wasn't the end of the transforming encounters that they had during the ongoing ministry with Jesus. The Spirit now dwelling in them. In fact, the rest of the book of Acts tells how their lives going on being changed over and over again as they keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Through persecution and imprisonment, shipwreck, and times of feeling perplexed, they go on being transformed as the gospel went out into all the world through miracles and through bearing with one another in love. So why have I taken you on that roller coaster of the emotions of these disciples through the lives of these young disciples? Because we're living through a time of upheaval. All that seems solid and reliable has been shown to be decidedly shaky. So my invitation to you today is not to predictability, to security in human terms. If we learn anything from the New Testament, it is that whilst we can find peace and security in God, in His love, to experience that peace, we need to trust Him enough to let go of everything else, everything that might appear to give security. Imagine a boat, tightly secured to the dockside, and with the anchor tightly bound to the harbour floor. Personally speaking, as a man who gets seasick in a punt, this is how boats should be. However, as the tide rises, the boat will sink because it's tied too tightly. Or, as the tide falls, it will hang pathetically from the dockside. The only way for the boat to be secure is for it to find its security on the water, to trust that it was made to rise and fall with the tide, not try to resist it. So we too must find our security in God alone. This morning we've purposely chosen songs and a style of worship that you might find familiar to help us all as we readjust to this new normal. But we are unfurling our sails with some new ways of being church and reaching out to our community in different ways. When asked by the crowd how they should respond to the earth-shattering events of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and the outpouring of the Spirit, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all the Lord our God will call." It's a call to a life of adventure with God. It begins by changing our minds about who we are and who God is, receiving his forgiveness and being immersed in water to symbolize that we're now living immersed in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The promise is that all who do so will receive the same gift of the Holy Spirit. From that moment, each of us goes on being transformed by the renewing of our minds and become part of building God's kingdom. Nothing we then go through can separate us from the love of God. Or perhaps some of you here this morning are like those at the first Pentecost. You think we're all drunk. Or perhaps you wonder what you should do. The promise is for you. The call is to new life, and it's for you. I'd love to lead you in a prayer to ask God to forgive you and to send his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And I can do that at a safe distance so we can talk afterwards. Many of you listening this morning will already have set out on this life of transformation. This has not insulated you from sickness, anxieties, frustrations, griefs, exhaustion, and times of sheer boredom which have accompanied this pandemic. But if we are willing, the Spirit of God in each of us can use these things to continue the process of transformation that he's begun in us and enable us to share this experience of God with others. So this Pentecost, we're joining with the Christian communities represented in the village to invite you to actively partner with God in this process of transformation, both for yourself and for those around you. We're inviting you to try praying. We're offering you a free book on the table with 7 days of challenges, testimonies, and encounters, encouraging you to deepen your conversation with God. It's written for those that have no church background and who are perhaps skeptical about God. If you've been a Christian for many years, the temptation will be to think, I know all this, and not actually engage with the challenges. I urge you not to miss the opportunity for two reasons. One, this week could revitalize your prayer life. And two, having fully entered into the challenges in prayer and action, you'd be in a better position to offer this book to someone else and discuss it with them later. For those of you that are not already, or perhaps not yet ready to receive the Spirit, but would like to find out more, this book is a great way to explore further with sections on suffering, unanswered prayer, and the Holy Spirit. As we begin to take these tentative steps into an unknown future, what better way to begin in developing that relationship with God than to root it in prayer? So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, please ask the Father to send Holy Spirit onto those gathered here this morning. Send the promised Holy Spirit on all those who've been called, and fill us again with your Spirit. We're called to be free, but teach us to use our freedom, not to indulge ourselves, but rather to serve one another humbly in love. Father God, we offer you these simple books on prayer and ask that you will use them to revive and renew the faith of your people and to bring new life to those who don't yet know you as their Father. Holy Spirit, forgive us when we cling to the old and familiar ways, the well-trodden paths. Free us to follow the one who says, Behold, I make all things new, and go wherever you lead. To unfurl our sails and allow you to lead us on this adventure. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.